Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Less than 20 minutes away. Real quick, Tom, can I still talk about that commercial I wanted to talk about from a couple of weeks ago, even though I wasn't in last week because I was on a trip and Andrew Filippone was always making fun of me?
Sure. I don't know that I remember it, but yes, this is your show.
The commercial that we talked about on the phone earlier this week? The TV commercial? You don't remember?
I've had a long week.
You're going to get your memory jogged coming up at 11:20 a.m. Eastern. 855-212-4CBS. NBA players don't work in the NFL. Just doesn't happen. I want to give credit where credit's due. Anthony Lima, who Andy Gresh is on 2 Eastern, right? Anthony Lima did a
That's correct.
Job. And Andy Gresh is back in the saddle again at 2 p.m. Eastern. Lima did a hell of a job while Gresh was out doing football. How much weight has Gresh lost now? Like 600 pounds?
Like a scary amount. He's a different person.
Unreal, yes.
He might even sound different. He lost so much weight.
That is true. You sound different as the weight fluctuates. I'll give you that. We'll find out. Well, you'll have to listen to Gresh and see if he sounds thinner coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern. Lima brought this up, though, and I'm just going to steal it from him. Give Lima credit because it's as hell as it is. He goes, NBA, we're talking about Odell, and this is last week. And Odell, well, he might want out. The reports are there. Jay Glazer, Fox, says Odell wants out. Almost said LeBron for a second. Odell wants out. Wants out of Cleveland. Telling other teams, come and get me, come and get me, come and get me. And Lima goes, man, it sounds like an NBA guy. When holy God, you're right. They asked him in the post game. He was vague. He puts the tweet out there. You know, I said, and this is two Thursdays ago. Hey, I said there's no place else I'd rather be. Then he tweets it out at 8:30 in the morning on that Friday morning. Another story I can tell off air to you there, Tom. And then after the game, where the game on Sunday happens, Jay Glazer reports Odell wants out, he's vague. That's NBA stuff. NBA players do this all the time. They love attention. And it works in the NBA. You have fans of players. Now, I want to know, and this is another fold to the Lamar conversation we'll get back to. I want to know if Lamar changes that. Because there are fans, real quick, who tell me, In my area, they're buying their kids. Their kids want them. They're buying them. They're buying Lamar Jackson jerseys. Now, the last time I saw that was in the NBA. Steph Curry jerseys, Kyrie Irving jerseys, wherever it might have been. That's the last time I saw it. And that's the way the NBA works. I can't see it working like that in the NFL. And we've been through this before in this city. We did this all the time over the last 4 years. Now it's been 5 years since he first came back. But it's been 5 years, and through the 4 years that LeBron James came back to Cleveland, we dealt with this the entire time. Vague, open-ended answers, social media, rumors, innuendo, everything. Everything. Nobody talks more than an NBA player. And we're seeing this with Odell. I just don't think it works. Now, I'm going to make a loose comparison. Stay with me, won't you? AB's done a lot of things to get himself in trouble and give himself a bad name, but ultimately, he did what an NBA player does. He forced his way out. Did not want to be in Oakland, was traded to Oakland. Didn't want to be in Pittsburgh, wanted out of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh traded him, did not want to be in Oakland. Got out of Oakland. Ended up with the New England Patriots and was a problem for the New England Patriots 11 days after they signed him. It doesn't work in the NFL. If that's the NBA, if he's not doing some of the things that he's been accused of, maybe it works a little bit better. But if it's not done in the NFL, that is done in the NBA. Guys get to choose in the NBA ultimately where they want to end up going. And once they've figured out that they can be happy with a little less money on the salary and they can make some of it back up and they have a tremendous lifestyle that they want, it leaves me in a scary scenario for plenty of flyover states in the NBA where there are good, strong basketball fans who are fans of the team and not necessarily the player. Where are those people supposed to go? Because you can talk about it being a traveling road show, like a circus or professional wrestling. But if you want people there every night to be interested in what you have, you have to cultivate the entire league. And the NFL has done that tremendously. There might be some fans of certain players. But ultimately, the region you're at, more than likely, 95%, you're a fan of that team. You don't see a lot of Vikings fans in Wisconsin. Or even a lot of Bears fans. Once you cross that line, it becomes Packer country. That's the way it's supposed to work. But for the ultimate team game, an NBA mentality, and what I at sometimes can sympathize with Odell, where you're on the receiving end. Quarterback's got to get you the ball. Even though I question how much you know the playbook, quarterback's got to get you the ball. I can see you being frustrated. I totally can. It's been a rough year for you. I can see your frustration. But if you're saying, come and get me, come and get me, come and get me, look at the system that's going on in the NFL. In the NBA, if LeBron James decided today that he didn't want to be an LA Laker and found a way to get out, people would be going to him with their hat in their hands. Giannis Antetokounmpo this coming offseason, people are going to beg him on bended knee to come to their franchise, to be a part of what they're doing. In the NFL, you can find a lot with some free agents, but ultimately, you can't have that same outlook. And when I hear vague answers, when I don't hear damning yes or no's every single time, it's going to make people wonder some different things. And he may not even want to leave. He might be frustrated, he might be upset, or he might really want to leave. Either way, I don't know if that works that well in the NFL. Because if you were going to go team to team to team like Kyrie, there was still a tremendous market for you. But for Odell Beckham, if you want out, which you're still under contract, I've already traded a first-round pick in Cleveland. What are they going to be able to get back? Are they going to be able to recoup a first-round pick? I don't think any team is looking at it going, you got traded from one team to another, now you got traded from one team and you want to trade me and you want a first-round pick back? You want me to take your $17 million a year headache off your hands? Doesn't work that way. I don't think we'll ever see it, though, even in a quarterback position. Because for LeBron and for James Harden and for some of the other guys in the NBA, they can take over a game. They're part of that 1% where no matter what you say, no matter what their teammates even think of them for the most part, no matter what their organization, even their own fans think of them, they can take over a game and win it at basically any time they want to. Durant, LeBron, those guys, they can. So no matter what, I win if I'm one of those guys. In the NFL, Odell has to have his quarterback on the same page. If the quarterback wants to act that way, and at times it feels like the quarterback has in that city. But in a lot of places, the quarterback wants to act that way. You have too many people that you rely on. You can't do it. But if you really want it out, and you were Odell Beckham Jr., I say still you might as well get comfy in Cleveland. But I also look at it and go, the top three places you would see yourself going, San Francisco, New England, the Jets. I don't think the Giants would go back to it. But he probably likes New York. If I were to put San Francisco, New England, the Jets, maybe L.A., you want to throw L.A. in there, fine. They like going after names. Maybe Jared Goff would want it. Might be a fit for you. But if it were San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan's running a great system. They've ran the ball a ton more than people think. Garoppolo has had some very fine games, but for the most part, they haven't asked a ton of them. Do you want that? A year after all of a sudden, it looks like you're the problem. Does Kyle Shanahan want that? In New England, seems like he would take the lid off of things. Tom Brady needs weapons. Don't have the best weapons. Don't have the best offense. Another year in the sun. Who knows what Tom Brady does at the end of this year. This is the first time I've actually wondered if Tom Brady might actually hang it up at the end of the season. Before, I didn't believe any of it. Now it looks, man, could he actually hang it up at the end of the year? I'm not talking about playing for other teams. I think that's something he wouldn't want to waste his time doing. Could he do that at the end of the year? Possibly. If you just want to go play for whoever their backup quarterback is right now, the kid out of Auburn, you go ahead and try it. I don't know if it works to the same tune. Maybe it does. Maybe it helps out. But Belichick has still been, and he's tried to do it before, has still been about football, 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 no other possibilities. I know you gave goatskin shoes to Tom Brady to try to extend that olive branch. I don't know if that's how that's going to shake out in New England. Plus, there's still residual left from AB. The Jets are a possibility. But if you're looking at it from a Jets perspective, you don't have a number one, he's a number one. He's been in your building before. Your hallways, basically, you know, my eyes are across the street from each other. I don't know if you've been paying attention to your neighbor, but if they're getting rid of him, and they're not in a better situation, if they're getting rid of him, how much better of a situation is it going to put you in? Because Cleveland, and this is the way the Giants have seen this, and I don't understand why, Cleveland has still been the better football team. They've just been disappointing this year. The Giants, hey, they look at this, and you got Pat Shurmur hanging around your neck. You have all these problems with your offensive line still. You're giving up a ton of sacks. You have Daniel Jones. Eli Manning's doing his goodbye tour. I have no idea what's happening with Dave Gettleman, but since they won that trade, they still feel like they got over, and they still have that first pick. Or that top-end first-round pick. So there's a feeling, but when you really break down the truth, they're not that much better off, but they feel better off. That's the type of relief that getting rid of Odell Beckham Jr. gave them. For the Browns, you went and you got him. And there's a lot of things that I put at their feet. I put some with Odell. I put some with Baker, certainly. I put some with Freddie Kitchens, absolutely. Some with John Dorsey, absolutely. Because you didn't pick the right guy, it looks like, to be in charge of this football team to actually provide leadership. But for Odell, this NBA mentality, we saw it with Ocho Cinco, even Terrell Owens, Dez Bryant, AB now, it just doesn't work out well for you. If I see the path where Odell is right now, at the end of this contract, unless he changes his ways, unless he quiets down, he's done. I could see Odell Beckham Jr.'s career being over in 3 years. You'd be 30 years old. I see Larry Fitzgerald across the way from you tomorrow afternoon. Larry Fitzgerald's been in the league since I've been in high school. Larry Fitzgerald has spoken his mind, has stood for the right things, has talked about the right things, has been a pillar in that community, and the guy that has been able to stand up through that franchise through good times, very good times at times, and then horrific times. He's been the guy that they build everything around. You can provide good culture. You can be a part of something. You can continuously be a benefit to an organization if you want to be. But every time I see Odell and every time I hear these stories surrounding him, his mother doesn't like being there. Now this, a year after you're traded, where you're trying to resurrect your good name, while guys like Michael Thomas and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and the two that you have down there in Tampa Bay, while all those guys surpass you, even Jarvis Landry on your own football team, while all those guys surpass you and they say half of what you do, I could see adding your name to that list. For those guys in the NBA, if you create a problem, you're still part of that 1%. They'll still do anything for you. If you are in the NFL, once you turn 30, good luck if you're going to act like that. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, if you're at the highest level, you absolutely have to be an annoying winner. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Can I bring up the Peloton commercial, or is it too late?
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Yes. The Peloton commercial. Sure, let's do it. Because that hasn't been beaten to death.
What do you want me to do? I didn't get to give my opinion of it. I want to give my opinion of it.
No, please do. It's different. It's at least different. So, yeah, please.
I saw the Peloton commercial. I even saw Albert Breer's tweet where he's like, I got that for my wife, and we didn't have a problem. Congratulations on all your success, Albert Breer. Congratulations. By the way, Twitter, I can afford a $2,500 exercise bike, and my wife and I work out all the time together. Like, yeah, I think Peloton commercials are silly. But I'm not part of that lifestyle. If you know, and I've seen this with a couple of people. I'm not really a corporate guy. Like I can sit in there. I got fetching up. I can sit in some meeting and do whatever I need to do. I've met several business owners, obviously. You do this, you're going to meet a lot of business owners. And I get along very well with them. It's nothing like that. It's not like I'm trying to fight the man or anything. I'm not doing that. It's not what I'm pointing out. But if you know any CEOs, they're usually, they wake up at about 4 a.m., and they get out and they exercise. Their days start very early. They're usually in pretty good shape, and they commit themselves to something, and part of that is their fitness. They try to commit to it. And their mates, they commit to it, whether it be a man or a woman. They want their mates to be fit too. It's very rare when you look at that world and you see one person's fat, the other person's thin. It's a little bit weird. Can we say that? Can we be honest about that, Tom, or am I going to get myself in trouble?
I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. So you look at that, that's the way it is. So I'm not surprised that a $2,500 exercise bike is sitting in the middle of a $7 million house. I think the commercials are funny, but they are geared towards a certain demographic, and they're not geared towards me. And I know that a lot of people were upset because, well, you see the woman in the ad, she seems like she's obsessed with fitness. Go with me on this, Tom. She seems like she's obsessed with fitness, and the guy has bought that. That is a world that I don't live in, so I don't understand, but I don't expect a lot of people to understand. To people who do live in that world, that makes total sense. They do that all the time. I do know a couple of couples that work out. Like, they go on vacation, and they don't let themselves eat or drink whatever they want to have. They just stay on it. Their lifestyle, their body is their temple. There's no such thing as a diet because they're always in great shape. They're never going to put that filth into their bodies. I know those people. Obviously, we have different opinions of things. So for people who buy a Peloton, that ad actually makes sense. Now, you don't get to see it, and I think Peloton should probably show this part. I'm sure the woman holds his feet to the fire on something. But I also think that it starts a weird, go with me on this, Tom, I think that this starts a weird conversation in households. And whether this is their natural intention, I think Peloton starts a lot of fights in households over the last couple of weeks. You want to know why, Tom?
Yeah, why? I'm with you.
Because I think that a lot of couples go home and they talk about at work the Peloton commercial. They see the Peloton commercial. They joke with each other about the Peloton commercial. And then one word leads to another, and that's, what do you really think of me? Well, you know, and then all of a sudden, you got yourselves a fight on your hands.
Like the joke, like, I should be getting you a Peloton bike.
Yep, absolutely. 100%. Like, Liz and I, we're not a part of that lifestyle. So it's not even on my product ladder to buy a Peloton. I'm not even affected by it. And the woman they show in the commercial, did you see she's in the Ryan Reynolds gin commercial?
Oh, yes.
And it's a shot at the Peloton commercial. And during the commercial, which I can't believe what we've been hoodwinked and bamboozled about, she sits there and guzzles down a martini right there on the ad, which you're really not supposed to do, courtesy of FCC agreements. You're really not supposed to do that. She guzzles down the martini. I want to ask you, what's worse for your health? Biking? 30 miles a day at least, videotaping yourself, being on that thing, or binge drinking?
Yeah,
Which one's worse?
Binge drinking is the problem.
I would say that one's worse. And also, the type of fit people, and this is going to create a different type of lifestyle, but this is a way we go with this. You can't tell me, like when people meet each other, you can't tell me that people are going to get Pelotons and all of a sudden you can meet people from all across the world and you're racing and all of a sudden maybe one person doesn't hit the Peloton when they're supposed to. They don't get on the bike when they're supposed to, and then they don't get on the for maybe a week, and then maybe it's 2 weeks and only one person's riding on the Peloton, and so they're holding themselves accountable, but now they're part of this biking community that holds themselves accountable to it, and they're racing races from all over the world, and they meet, and all of a sudden they're meeting up, and away they go in their own relationship started by Peloton. Think about that for a second, Tom. Don't tell me I'm wrong. I know I'm right.
No, I think you're right. It makes me think of car commercials, like these Lexus wrapped in a bow Christmas commercials.
Yeah.
That they're also like just gross. But it's like it's not gross to people who are wealthy enough to buy each other cars for Christmas. Like,
yeah, it's
marketed to them and it's normal for them in a very similar way. People who are fitness people and who are also pretty wealthy, who are in the Peloton market, don't find it weird to get their significant other exercise bikes. But if you're not wealthy or not in the fitness culture, then, yeah, you might think that it's like a weird message to send to somebody who doesn't work out.
It
Here's
certainly
a fitness
is.
Bike. Yeah.
It certainly is. Because to Ken and Liz Carmen in Streetsboro, Ohio, That's a weird message to send to the people who do marathons four times a year and are part of writing groups. That's not a weird message to send. It's geared to that lifestyle.
Right.
I can say that I'm offended by it, but if it's not to my lifestyle, they're not really doing an ad for me anyway.
Right.
They know I'm not going to buy that.
So if your radio spouse, Mr. Lima, got you guys a Peloton, I think it would be kind of it would be a strange.
It's just a
message.
Gift for him. It's
right.
just a gift for him.
Right. But if he got his personal trainer a Peloton, then it would be a much different story.
Well, if he had a girlfriend and he got her a Peloton, I really don't think it would be a big problem. I don't think it would be a problem at all. If I got Liz a Peloton, I'm out of my ass. Liz just had three kids. There's no way I can go home and go, "Hey, I got this for you. I know you didn't ask for it, but here's a great big exercise bike." I shouldn't be spending that on that, because even the thought of it, I should be taking the $2,500 and going to the divorce lawyer with it. That's what I should really be doing.
You thought it was going to be diamonds.
Yep.
It's
a Peloton. Yep. I got you. It was really expensive. What was it? Was it diamonds? Did you go to Peter and Company? Close. I went to the Planet Fitness next door, ordered it from them. And the car commercial, by the way, the only thing that sets me off about the car commercial, I don't know how much a brand new Lexus is a month. You're really making those type of decisions without the spouse being there?
The whole thing is absurd. Yeah.
Who's anybody buying thinking about cars that? Anybody thinking Christmas? About that? Oh, that's sometimes the best time to buy. You can find great deals. If you really wanted to buy a car,
yeah,
that's
like
when you
buy.
It's
a family decision that then you're
exactly.
making a bargain thing. You're not buying
exactly.
your wife a car
that's the
for
thing
Christmas.
That's the thing about it. And I go, how do you get the thing to you? The bow, the whole thing. Do you drive with it in the trunk and then you put the bow on top? Like, this has had to have happened in America. Like, people have had to really have done this, going, "Well, I'm buying my wife a Lexus and I want the whole thing. I've been watching these commercials for 25 years. I want the bow on there." Well, how do you get the bow on there? And they show them in the commercials, and they're driving down the street with the bows on the top of the Lexus. There is not a chance in hell in winter weather any of those bows are staying on those cars. So now you just have bows all over the highway when you're trying to get the thing home. And you go home. If I were to take my wife, say I did make this grand gesture, and I decided that I was going to risk it all, roll the dice on making that big of a decision without her, even though the car would be for her. And I pulled that thing in the driveway, and she woke up, and she came downstairs, and there's that Lexus sitting in the driveway. If there ain't no bow on that Lexus, it's going to take a lot of heat away from it, isn't it?
Yeah, John Fast reports that you can purchase the bow for, they're $700, but they absolutely are available.
Whoa. Get John on real quick.
Yeah,
John.
I'm here, Ken.
The bow comes separate. It's not part of the deal.
You could kiss
my ass on Broadway. There's no way I'm paying extra for the bow.
My father used to sell Lexuses. He's retired now, and he said they would sell bows for, like, I forget the number. It's like $300 or $400. And I'm thinking,
are you kidding?
Who was dropping that? Who
are
wants a bow for $400 on top of their car?
It's a $400 freaking bow.
Yes, give or take. I mean, I don't sell the Lexuses, but. That's what I remember hearing.
Your dad was able to upsell these things?
Oh, I don't think he ever put one on. I just know that they were available to the schmuck that wanted to put a bow on his car for whatever, holiday present they decide.
You could go to Pacatan's or Michael's and get a giant bow for $30.
Merry Christmas. Here's an $80,000 car with a $400 bow on top.
A $400 bow. That's asinine to me. Lord Almighty. Well, John, your dad's a hell of a salesman. Was a hell of a salesman.
Right.
That's incredible. $400 bows on top of that. I can't imagine doing that. Hey, I bought you a car. Yeah, you didn't pick it out. I picked it out for you. Yeah, it's 2019. I picked out your car for you. Coming up in less than an hour, Matt Williamson going to join us. NFL Scout, Dynasty Blueprint, Locked On NFL Podcast. We'll talk NFL with him. We'll talk Lamar Jackson with him. Up next, Drew Butler, host of the Punt and Pass Podcast with Aaron Murray. Ask him who he's got for the Heisman. Is it just Joe Burrow Lock? And is Chase Young really the best player in college football?
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. You can always save money by switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. And Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a key AFC South showdown between Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Titans, while others will see Kansas City hosting Denver, plus other regional action. It all begins with JB and the guys setting up the day on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Our next guest, he was a former NFL punter. He's a former Georgia Bulldog. Well, once you're a Georgia Bulldog, you're always a Georgia Bulldog. Creator and host of the Punt and Pass podcast, Fourth and Long on Caffeine, Drew Butler on Twitter. It's Drew Butler who joins us on the show today. Drew, thanks for joining us, bud.
Absolutely, Ken. How are you, my man?
Doing very, very well. Very happy to talk to you about all this. All right, well, I'd like to cover a couple of both here. Okay, I'd like to cover a little bit of NFL, a little bit of college with you. Here we are. Is it Joe Burrow and we all move on? Is that how this all works? Or is there any possibility where he doesn't get that all-time record vote of that 90, what was it, 91.5 by Troy Smith some years ago? Does he break that record or does he fall just short?
It's all Joe Burrow tonight, and deservedly so. I mean, what he's been able to do at LSU this season and how he has led that team to 13-0 in SEC championship, beating Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and getting that number one ranking. Look, in the South for so long, especially around SEC football, people have said for years and years, man, if LSU only had a quarterback. And Coach O gets Joe Burrow to transfer in from Ohio State, grabs Joe Brady from the Saints, and then boom, you had magic in a bottle, and they finally put it all together. You mentioned it. Will he get that vote? I don't know. I saw something really interesting this past week. There are 870 voters for the Heisman Trophy, over under 805 first-place votes for Joe Burrow. I think you have to go over. And it's tough to say that because look at what Justin Fields did at Ohio State with 40 touchdowns and only one interception, not counting his 10 rushing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts had a great year. And then, of course, Chase Young gets there despite a two-game suspension from the NCAA. So it's going to be Joe Burrow. He's the man. The only beef I have with him, Ken, is that he wore a purple seersucker suit to the College Football Awards show on Thursday. It's December 12th. You got to put the seersucker in the closet. That's the only beef I have with Joe Burrow to this point.
You know what? That's a great point. A clothes horse like yourself would certainly know something like that. Did he? I used to be on Sunday nights here on the network, and I would get calls from people in Louisiana who wanted Ed Orgeron fired. And now there's we didn't say that. We did not say that. Maybe it's the time of day. Maybe it changes since I'm on Saturday mornings now. So what is it? Did Joe Burrow save Ed Orgeron's job?
I think it's a little bit of both ways. You know, Coach O is a special breed, and he is made for LSU football. Remember, when they hired Coach O, everybody wanted Tom Herman. Tom Herman went to Texas. LSU was trying to court Tom Herman. It didn't happen, and LSU fans were extremely upset. Coach O was the interim head coach, kept the job, and he made the necessary changes. Some would call them sweeping changes to get LSU back to the championship caliber football that they expect down on the Bayou. So I think they both helped each other. It's going to be very telling next season. Where does Joe Brady go? Does he get a head job somewhere? I wouldn't think so. I think LSU will give him a lot of money to stay. But how are they going to continue to develop without Joe Burrow? That will be most telling for Coach O.
We're seeing more and more of that. Brett Venables takes a great big payday and stays at Clemson, and then you just brought up Joe Brady. Is that maybe the way things could be now, where if you're willing to pay up, guys are willing to stay and be recruits and be recruiters and be assistants for guys instead of trying to be the head man maybe at a mid-major or a mid-level Power 5?
I think the older guys like Brent Venables, certainly he's in a comfortable spot. And he's very successful at Clemson with what they're able to do and the talent that they're able to recruit. You know, Joe Brady's my age. He's 30. I mean, he definitely has goals beyond being just a passing game coordinator or an offensive coordinator, but I think he'll be the first one to tell you he's green. I mean, he's got to get more experience from a day-to-day operational CEO standpoint to be able to walk into a Power 5 athletic director's office and say, I'm the man for the job. I can bring us to a championship level and recruit at the level needed. So, look, he's getting all the experience necessary. He's doing it at a very high level. So he's one to watch in the next couple of years to get a big-time job and a big-time payday.
Drew Butler joining us on the show, Punt and Pass podcast, former NFLer, Georgia Bulldog. How scary, how dangerous is Clemson? Because everybody's saying, well, you know, Dabo's always talking about being disrespected. Well, you know, the rest of the conference isn't very good, but you're beating the rest of conference by 50. So what is it? How good are the Clemson Tigers, Drew?
I think Clemson's the best team in the nation. And the way that they have gotten better throughout the latter part of the season and how Trevor Lawrence is able to finish this 2019 after his bye week to kind of get that sophomore slump behind him. You know, when you get Clemson, Brent Venables, all that talent on defense, 3.5 weeks to prepare, I mean, it's going to be a big-time game for Ohio State. I think Clemson wins that game. They turn around and they give LSU their best shot. If I had to pick today, you know, obviously I'm going to go with Clemson out of the Fiesta Bowl. I'll pick LSU out of the Peach Bowl, and you are going to be really looking forward to that national championship between number one LSU and number three Clemson. You know, with that, again, 2 weeks. People forget this year, the semifinal games are on December 28th. The national championship is January 13th. You get that Super Bowl-type lead-up that we hadn't seen in years past. That just plays more and more into Clemson's benefit, especially getting ready for that Joe Brady offense. I like Clemson where we're standing right now.
Drew Butler joining us on the show. Clemson, the best team in the country. So how does that change with Dabo, where you're able to put the confetti in the cannon 2 years in a row? And we've seen, you know, Nick Saban struggled to do it. Other guys have struggled to do it. It's so hard to repeat. What makes Clemson so much better?
You know, I think, for one, they don't have to go up against Nick Saban in Alabama again. I mean, that's one of the hardest things to do, is beat him consistently, and he knows exactly what you're going to do to beat his game plan, and vice versa. Having fresh blood in the water, I think, plays into Clemson's benefit for sure. LSU, you know, they haven't done it. They have not gotten to the national championship in so long and put the confetti in the bucket. Clemson has. I think those all play in to Clemson's benefit for sure. But that's going to be one hell of a matchup, LSU versus Clemson. And I just don't see how Ohio State is able to get past Clemson. And on the other side, no chance Oklahoma gives it to LSU. I saw LSU in person last weekend at the SEC championship game. Joe Burrow is the real deal. Those receivers are legit. And the defense is coming on at the perfect time. So I think Oklahoma might be in for a rude awakening as well.
Drew Butler with us on the show. Hey, the TMZ report about Chase Young. Is there any chance at all he could actually go back to Ohio State?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, any agent who's going to be able to talk to him will say, Chase, I mean, you're out of your mind if you pass up the opportunity that the NFL is about to give you. Now, you know, no. The answer is no. He's going to the NFL. There's no way to even really spin this one. He's the most dominant defensive player in the nation. His game's going to translate to the NFL immediately. Look at what Nick Bosa is doing for the San Francisco 49ers. You can make the argument that Chase Young's better. The dude's a certified top five pick. He'll be in the NFL next year.
Drew Butler with us, one half of the Punt and Pass podcast with Aaron Murray. Aaron's on the CBS Sports Network. So for you guys, by the way, you guys both together, when you guys do your podcast, how much of a mix is it? Is it hard not to just sit there and talk about Georgia football the entire time?
It is, but, you know, we started the podcast 3 years ago. We're about to go over 1 million downloads, which I'm pretty proud of. And the timing was fantastic because Georgia wasn't really that much to talk about until 2017 when they made it to the national championship game. So, you know, what we do is we talk about the biggest games of the week. We bring on a lot of fun, relevant guests. And Aaron and I kind of talk about the games, the coaches, the stadiums from our perspective, and then we bring guests on that can bring in their own as well. So it broadens out. It really gets national around college football playoff time, especially now where we cover all the top storylines and talk with people who are in tune with what's going on in college football. So it's been a passion project, a lot of fun, and it's a ton of fun to grow.
I told you I wanted to mix it up just because I wanted to know your thoughts on Lamar Jackson coming out into the draft. Did you have to do an about face this time, or did you think he could be a really successful quarterback in the NFL?
No, I mean, I'll do an about face right now. The guy's phenomenal. I mean, what he's done this year, especially how that Ravens team has rallied around him and the support that he has from his teammates and coaches, especially how Greg Roman has built that offense around Lamar Jackson. Hat tip to the entire organization. And even for a guy like Kyler Murray, I mean, I was very, very, very bearish on Kyler Murray. I did not think that he would be the top pick. I didn't think that his game would translate that well. Again, we're going to have to continue to wait and see. But Lamar Jackson's a different beast. He's got the MVP wrapped up. You have to consider the Ravens as the Vegas favorite to win the Super Bowl right now. He's just so fast. And And then his receivers are getting wide open for him, and when they're not, he's dropping dimes. So how do you prepare for him? How do you defend against him? There's too many ways to just walk onto the field and say, we got this, and we're going to be able to stop him. He looks phenomenal. I was wrong. He's a stud. Hand him the MVP.
Does he change quarterbacking in the NFL? Because we're seeing more and more guys. I don't know if we see more and more guys like Lamar. Let me think this better. We see more athletes. We're not seeing as many statuesque pocket passers, protected passers, than we saw 15 years ago. So I can't say, well, do we see more Lamars? But do we see more guys who move around more, who are able to take it and run with it, not just stand back and deliver?
Yeah, you got to think Jalen Hurts is pretty happy right now. I mean, he's going to be sitting there and his agent will say, look at Lamar Jackson's success. Look at Kyler Murray's draft position. Mobile quarterbacks are the new norm in the NFL. I think that might be a bit of a blanket statement, but get one thing clear. I mean, nobody is as fast and quick as Lamar Jackson. He is that Michael Vick type, and I keep seeing people say, respect his greatness. Stop trying to compare him. I think people naturally want to compare him because you haven't seen anything quite like him until, or I guess, since Michael Vick had busted onto the scene. So Justin Fields is athletic. He ain't Lamar Jackson quick. I mean, this guy is truly one of a kind. So is he changing NFL quarterbacking? I think that might be a blanket statement right now. But certainly the trend is you got to have somebody who can extend the play. You got to have somebody who can get outside the pocket and move the chain so you don't get into that awful third and long. That just kills the NFL.
What college coach that got fired was the biggest mistake?
I mean, I could say the college coach that didn't get fired and is the biggest mistake is Clay Helton, but, you know, I could say another one, the biggest mistake of a coach that was hired was Willie Taggart at Florida State. Could not get my mind around that one. What college coach that was fired is the biggest mistake? You know, that's a great question right now. I don't know what Ole Miss was doing or even Arkansas, right? Yeah. Ole Miss obviously got Lane Kiffin. Arkansas is just not a very interesting spot in the SEC right now. Chad Morris obviously was not getting the job done. That's clear. Uh-huh. But how are you going to recruit a coach to come in there after you ask Chad Morris after 2 years? You got to play A&M every year, Auburn, Alabama, LSU, recruit against those guys. Yeah, you got great facilities. But, you know, that's just an interesting situation. You can't keep knocking it down every 2 years expecting to catch magic in a bottle.
God, I totally agree, Drew. I totally agree on that one. Like, Barry Odom got fired, and maybe you thought he should have. I'm not sure. I thought that was a little bit surprising. And I knew, you know, they had a pretty decent season with Drew Locke last year. But, man, I look at those places and go, man, it's going to be a grind. And I don't know who you bring in that you think is going to make things a lot different. I do think, and I know we're running out of time, so I actually do think Lane Kiffin to Ole Miss makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that as well. And that's a good landing spot for him. And he's not afraid, right? And he's one guy that really hadn't accomplished much and has reached the top of every profession. It's amazing. I need some of what he's got to be able to just be handed top jobs without the resume to match. So, hey, I wish him the best. He's going to be a lot of fun in the SEC, and we'll have a ton of fun covering him on the podcast.
Drew, we'll let you go with that. We thank you very much for the time. Listen to the Punt and Pass podcast. Drew Butler with us on the show. He won part of that with Aaron Murray, the former Georgia Bulldog. Up next, I just got to explain a little bit more about what I thought about Lane Kiffin, and let Mar be a lesson to Tua Tagovailoa. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.